Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, May 13th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Governor Tim Pawlenty is scheduled to resume budget negotiations with legislative leaders today when he returns from a Capital for a Day event in Thief River Falls. An agreement remains out of reach as lawmakers count down the final week of the 2008 session. The House and Senate worked late Monday night debating health care reform and other bills. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Pugmire has an update.
After a brief Monday morning meeting with legislators, Governor Tim Pawlenty was sounding optimistic about an orderly end of the 2008 session. The Republican governor asked DFL leaders to hold off on their plan to vote on tax and spending bills while talks continued on a possible property tax plan.
We'd like to have a negotiated conclusion to the session that would involve a budget resolution. You know, our key priority here is to make sure we have some property tax relief. We believe the only way to do that is to cap property taxes, hold down those levies.
DFL leaders were also accentuating the positive and reported some progress on the property tax front later in the day. While Pawlenty is holding out for a cap, the Senate wants to ease property tax increases by boosting local government aid payments to cities. The House favors direct relief to homeowners. Senate Majority Leader Larry Pogemiller of Minneapolis felt an agreement was well within reach.
We're hopeful that these discussions with regards to levy limits and local government aid can bear some fruit. And if they do, it should be very good.
A similar assessment was coming from DFL House Speaker Margaret Anderson Kelleher of Minneapolis, who described the property tax discussion as promising. She added that an agreement in that area seemed like a strong possibility, but the overall budget deal is another matter.
The governor is going to have to show a higher level of flexibility.
House and Senate leaders are still looking for an agreeable solution to the projected $935 million deficit in the state budget. In those discussions, Kelleher says she wants to see more concessions from the governor.
In the budget balancing bill, the governor often has layered demand upon demand, and seems, at least up to this point, a bit unwilling to cut some of his spending. We think he's going to have to balance the budget, put some things down on the table and take the knife and give it a little cut. That's what's going to happen.
DFL leaders held back most of the budget bills, but a health care reform measure made it to the House and Senate floors for late night debates and was passed by both bodies. Governor Pawlenty has already targeted the bill for a veto. He says the measure would expand publicly subsidized health care programs at a time when the state can't afford what it already has. But the Assistant Majority Leader in the Senate, DFLer Terrell Clark of St. Cloud, says she thinks the governor could still sign the bill.
It's early in the week. We're hopeful that he will give this a serious look because there are things in it that he wants that other people might not want. And that is part of compromise.
Republicans weren't sharing Clark's optimism. House Minority Leader Marty Seifert of Marshall said it was ridiculous for Democrats to waste time voting on a doomed bill.
It doesn't do any good to pass a bill, have it vetoed, and then have nothing. They have an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to compromise and work together to get a good bill put together, and they're just kind of marching down the street of veto land.
Seifert said he was unsure of where the broader end-of-session negotiations were headed, but he thinks there's still plenty of time this week to reach a deal. The legislative session must end by May 19th. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
As Tim mentioned, a health care reform bill is on its way to Governor Pawlenty after final passage by the House and Senate. The bill would reward providers that stress preventative care, expand publicly subsidized health programs, and accelerate the development of electronic transactions in the health field. Supporters say the measure will save money by covering more people who are currently uninsured. But Republican Representative Laura Broad of New Prague says the bill is about expansion, not reform. Broad says the measure would just deliver more of the same.
When you think about just adding more people into public programs, we are already underpaying the doctors and the providers in the system. If we just put more and more people into that system, guess who pays? Everybody else. All the private payers get to pay more. So tell me how that lowers health care costs. It doesn't.
Governor Pawlenty says he'll veto the bill. He says it would add more people to publicly subsidized health care programs at a time when the state can't afford to maintain current coverage levels. The governor has signed the Agriculture and Veterans Affairs Policy Bill. That bill requires a greater amount of biodiesel in diesel fuel and allows soldiers' family members to take time off for military events. The House author, DFLer Al Junkie of Willmar, says he's proud of the provision requiring Minnesota to increase its biodiesel requirement from 2% to 20% by 2015.
With the signing of the B-20 bill, Minnesota once again asserts itself in a leadership role in biofuels across this country. And I don't think we can emphasize that enough.
Junkie said the requirement would not take effect if price, availability, and supply of biofuels are too high. It also won't apply during winter months. Several critics have complained that increased production of biofuels has caused food prices to rise. In Washington, Senate Democrats will push an energy bill today that would limit oil price speculation and roll back billions of dollars in tax breaks for the oil industry. Minnesota Public Radio's Mark Zedeklik reports.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and other Democrats are calling their bill the Consumer First Energy Act. Senate Republicans are calling for more domestic oil production, including drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Democrats oppose opening ANWR for oil drilling. Klobuchar says they would redirect energy company subsidies toward alternative energy.
The idea here is there's $17 billion that the oil companies get in tax breaks over 10 years, and this act would roll it back.
Republican Senator Norm Coleman says he remains opposed to drilling in ANWR. Coleman is proposing increased offshore drilling, grants and loans for clean energy development, and increasing so-called clean coal production. Coleman and Klobuchar both support temporarily suspending delivery of fuel to the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help bring down gas prices. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.